Welcome to A Day of Prayer. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
Together, let's engage in relationship with Christ through prayer, faith, and His Word.
Good morning. You're listening to A Day of Prayer's Morning Bible Study. My name is Thomas, and we are so glad you could join us. Before we get into the Word, let's open up in prayer. Lord, we welcome you into the room, Lord, and we allow you to lead us and guide us inside of your free will, Lord. And Lord, we also ask, Lord, that you bless our day, Lord, and give us the ability to hear directly from you, Lord, and that we hear accurately, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.
In Jesus' somebody name, amen.
And amen. Well, good morning and welcome, everyone. So glad to have you with us as we dive into the scripture, continuing our study of the book of James. This morning we are still in James chapter 2, covering verses 20 through 26. So if you're joining us for the first time or you're rejoining us, I want to encourage you to pause the episode and just take a moment to read through that section of scripture to make things easier to follow along in the discussion. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
All right. So at this time, the floor is open to give each of you the opportunity to share what Holy Spirit is speaking and ministering to you. Now, and ask any questions you have. Layla, you had a wonderful introduction for us on something the Lord was speaking to you concerning this section of scripture.
Yes, Dad.
Why don't you begin?
Thank you, Dad. Okay, so first I want to read out of Hebrews chapter 11, the first three verses, and this is what it says. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. And now to read that scripture in 2 Kings chapter 13, we'll read verses 14 through the end of the chapter, just so we can see the fulfillment of what took place in this particular segment. Elisha had become sick with the illness of which he would die. Then Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariots of Israel and their horsemen. And Elisha said to him, Take a bow and some arrows. So he took himself a bow and some arrows. Then he said to the king of Israel, Put your hands on the bow. So he put his hand on it, and Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. And he said, Open the east window. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, Shoot. And he shot. And he said, The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For you must strike the Syrians at Aphek till you have destroyed them. Then he said, Take the arrows. So he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, Strike the ground. So he struck three times and stopped. And the man of God was angry with him and said, You should have struck five or six times. Then you would have struck Syria till you had destroyed it. But now you will strike Syria only three times. Then Elisha died and they buried him. And the raiding bands from Moab invaded the land of in the spring of the year. So it was as they were burying a man that suddenly they spied a band of raiders. And they put the man in the tomb of Elisha, and when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, that he revived and stood on his feet. And Hazael, king of Syria, oppressed Israel all the days of Jehoaz. But the Lord was gracious to them, had compassion on them, and regarded them because of his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and would not yet destroy them or cast them from his presence. Now Hazael, king of Syria, died. Then Ben-Hadad, his son, reigned in his place. And Jehoash, the son of Jehoaz, recaptured from the hand of Ben-Hadad, the son of Hazael, the cities which he had taken out of the hand of Jehoaz, his father, by war. Three times Joash defeated him and recaptured the cities of Israel. So, as I was discussing in the previous episode about our target, hope being our target for our faith, and faith is like having a quiver of arrows. In this particular segment, unfortunately, Joash was not in communion with the Lord the way he should have and didn't heed the Lord's commandment. So he went off what he thought he should do, which is he struck the ground three times. And then you see, because he didn't inquire of the Lord to ask, how many times should I strike the ground? Because we read in James earlier, if any of you lacks wisdom or lacks understanding, if you have a question, ask, and the Lord will give you the answer liberally and without reproach. But Joash didn't ask. He didn't want to ask. He didn't think he needed to ask. He thought, well, I'm king of Israel. I can do just as well as the Lord can on my own. And so he strikes the ground three times, and you see Elisha go, you should have done it five or six, and you would have destroyed Syria. You would have hit the target. You would have moved the obstacle. You would have said to that mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and you would have had a straight path to victory and to get everything that you were intending to get, because Joash wanted the cities of Israel back that had been captured by the other kings of Syria and other lands. So he wanted his territory back. Well, he only gets three cities, symbolized by the three arrows that he struck, or the three times he struck the arrow on the ground. But for Elisha, and here's the mercy of the Lord, he didn't just let Joash, you know, shoot wherever he wanted to. Elisha put his hands on the bow as well and told him where to open the window, open the east window, and that was in the direction of Syria. If you look at it on the map, that was easterly from where they technically would have been, or a possible, you know, location of where he was. And the Lord guided him, and then he said, okay, son, I'm going to see what you do from this point. Are you going to humble yourself, and are you going to get counsel of me, or are you going to continue in pride? Well, Joash continued in pride, and all he got back was three cities, which he eventually loses that and more later, or, you know, Israel on the whole loses that, those cities and more as time progresses. But for us, when the Lord gives us the target, it shouldn't just be enough for us just to have the target. We want to know, okay, what angle do I come at this target from to hit that weak spot, or the flesh in between the armor? We're not trying to, you know, be some people in history. They just drew a bow at random and let it go. And by chance, as people call it, it struck a king between the joints of his armor and he died in his chariot and at sunset. That's not what our faith should be. Just spray and pray and let's see what sticks. We have targets, and the Lord is the one that sets our target and our expectation. That's what that is. Hope is an expectation for something to come to pass in your life. You hope to get a new car. You're expecting to get a new car. When you get the finances, or somebody just walks up to you and hands you a pair of keys and says, here, the car is yours. However, whatever method the Lord chooses to, you know, bring that provision, and that's your expectation. And in another Bible study that we had done, and even in our discussing the words, we talked about letting the Lord set our expectation, or being satisfied with the dreams and the visions that the Lord fills us with, instead of trying to press and do our own, you know, idea what we think we want. Because even I found that to be true in my own life. I thought I wanted to pick something, a doll for my birthday, and I got that doll, and I sit down and play with it. And I'm like, well, I don't really want to play with the doll. And then I go off and go, okay, I want a trumpet for my birthday. I get the trumpet. Don't really want to play with the trumpet. So if you have kids, for those of you that are parents, you know your kids don't know what they want. They say that they do, but they really don't. And mommy, dad, you've had that experience with me. I said I wanted something, and you have been gracious enough to go, no, that's not really what you want. This is what you want over here, and I'm just going to get that thing instead. For an example, I got a book that she gave me. I forgot who the author was by, but I was sure that I was going to hate it. I didn't want a book. I wanted paint. I wanted makeup. I wanted something other than that book. And then you gave me it was called Hooper. It was about a rescue dog. And you said, here, you want this book. I'm going to give you the book. And after a while, when I sat down, I looked at it and I thought, man, that dog looks awfully cute. I want to know what happened to that dog. And I love that book so much. That is one of my favorite reads to this day, that Hooper rescue dog story. And I thought for sure I wasn't going to like it, that I didn't want it. But the thing about the Lord is he knows the heart, which means he also knows what we are expecting, what we need, and what we desire. So coming back to the king of Israel here in 2 Kings 13, the Lord knew that he wanted his cities back, that he wanted the inheritance of his father back, even though he couldn't, you know, phrase it that well or put the pieces together in some regards. That's truly and ultimately what he was expecting. But because he wasn't faithful toward the Lord, didn't trust the Lord, didn't believe the best about him, he thought 3 times should be good enough because that's all I want to do. That's all I feel like doing. That's all I think I should do. And so instead of hitting the target 5 or 6 times until it was moved, instead of moving that mountain, he hit it once when Elisha told him to open the window and had his hand on the bow with him and shot it. And then, Dad, you're going to say something?
So we understand, historically, that's typically how kings declared war, was firing an arrow out the window or a spear into the opposing nation's land.
Yes.
Right? Just so we understand.
Amen.
But so that needed to happen. But as you were and the Lord's been speaking to you, there's something greater. It's not just about receiving the thing that we desire, mm-hmm. right? And both of the examples that I've been given, right? You today in this episode with Joash and then ultimately Jehoash, right? For the next generation. And the example yesterday where Promise was talking about Abraham, but really it started with Terah, mm-hmm. right? Both of these events overlapped or extended into the next generation because the current generation, the one that was in charge, did not follow it to the fullness. And by the follow it, I mean the Lord's plan to the fullness. If you look at even just what you or the Lord had you cover today, right? He struck 3 times. He only received 3 victories. But yet there were 3 more victories that had to come and came with Jehoash in the next generation's time. Instead of, for our generation or this generation, whatever one is the Lord has positioned and placed in, I'll say authority, right, as leadership at that time, are we willing to do everything the Lord requires, not just for us and our generation, right? And I mean that for whichever generation is leading, right? Whichever generation the Lord has in a position of rule or authority at that time, right? And is training up the next generation while also taking care of the generation that came before them, whoever is left, right? Is acting as a bridge of sorts, right? Now, for whichever generation is in charge, are they willing to not just maintain what they've inherited and fight off, you know, whatever enemies or just to be able to maintain, but are they willing to receive the ultimate victory, to go the full way with the Lord, right? Really utilize their faith so that, like with David and David's generation, as an example, he went the full way. He fought every enemy that needed to be fought. And ultimately, what did it do? It brought about peace in his son or in Solomon's day. That whole generation didn't have to know or experience or fight in warfare. And the Lord just blessed them continually as long as they remained with the Lord. Now, as you were reading here, Joash disregarded everything. And that's important for us to understand. Right? There was complete. It's not even naive, right? It wasn't even that he was naive. He disregarded all counsel. How is it that Elisha, who was not a man of war, but he was a prophet, a servant of the Lord, knew to say you needed to do this 5 or 6 times to have ultimate victory and to wipe out Syria? Instead, and the man of war, the king over the army, over everything, you're going to tell me that he wasn't advised by his counselors, by his men of war, his generals, his commanders, as to what needed to happen to bring about a victory in the army or for this army? No, it's a matter. And how is it that Elisha knew when this individual, when you just read it on its at a surface level, it was almost like he didn't know any better. No, but if you fully understand what is required, then you can go do it. But he chose to disregard all of that and just do the basic minimal thing. And then you see it now spill over into the next generation, and they now have a requirement to bring about the victory. They are now born into a time of warfare where there are raiders and raids that are happening that they have to defend against, while also now going on the offensive in order to bring about peace. So for whatever generation you're in, as you look at this, as you study it, understand the faith has to be in action. Yeah, we can trust the Lord to maintain what we have, but also to increase our boundaries. And by increase, I mean restore everything that the enemy has tried to take away. And it requires us, we were looking at James, when the Lord told us to study James because of the practical aspect of this, right? Mm-hmm. The things that we can apply to our everyday life. Well, are we the generation and the type of people that will go forward in the Lord and accomplish all he has planned and purpose for us on the destiny track for each and every one of us? Ultimately working together in unity to accomplish, or as it was said about Christ, for him and ultimately for his generation, to fulfill all the Lord had planned and purposed. Not just looking out for ourselves, but looking out for our neighbor as ourself. Well, our neighbor is also our sons and daughters, our children, the future generations, while, as I said previously, still looking out for those that went before us, right? The generation that was utilized by the Lord to raise us up, acting as a bridge between, I'll say, the generations.
Amen. Go ahead, Promise.
Very quickly, I would like to connect what you and Dad were saying about our plan. Sorry, not our plan, but God's plan, and how our grace should be used to move us forward on his plan for our life, not digging us out of useless holes. Going back to what you're saying, Dad, with Joash, how because he wasn't willing to humble himself before God to actually be obedient to what God was telling him to do, the grace that would have been used to actually bring him forward and progress him was instead used on bringing him out of holes. And so going back to your example of the target, Layla, if you're hunting, you want to spend your ammo on something that matters, not hunting rats, because that's not going to feed you. You need something of substance. Sure, you may have 20 rats, but they're infected. And you can't eat that.
And you probably scared off all the other animals?
Yes.
Okay.
The same applies here. If we spend all of our grace doing something that, doing useless or trivial things, God cannot apply it to our plan, which is where the works come in. Grace is applied to the works to make it more efficient. But if we don't have that grace, it's like running into the wind. You're going nowhere. Well, virtually nowhere. You're doing it of your own strength. God cannot honor that, nor will he be able to actually put his force behind it.
Amen. Amen.
Go ahead, honey.
No, I'll pick up in the next episode.
Well, there's a lot in there for us to consider before the Lord, allowing Holy Spirit to minister to us and walk us through and study out the scripture. So let's pause there for today. And with that, can I get a volunteer to close us out in prayer, please?
I will.
All right, Promise.
Lord, we thank you for being our God, Lord, and giving us laughter and the ability to enjoy your plan for us, Lord. Lord, we humble ourselves before you, Lord, and we allow you to show us things to come, Lord, and to allow us to be your children, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.
In Jesus' almighty name, amen.
And amen. Well, we love you. God bless you, and have a wonderful day.
Want to know more about A Day of Prayer?
Sign up for our newsletter where you'll get the latest updates on the ministry, inspiring messages, and coupon codes for the merch shop.
Visit our website, adayofprayer.org.
Click on Connect in the menu bar and complete the form.
Be sure to check the box that says Subscribe.
Thank you for listening to A Day of Prayer. We trust the Lord that you are strengthened and encouraged in your relationship with Christ. Visit us on our website, adayofprayer.org, where you can check out our blog, find additional study resources, or shop the official A Day of Prayer store.
Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." So until next time, take care and God bless you.